Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. I'm John Schmoke, joined by Lance Meadow. The Giants with a very rare weekend off during the NFL football season, and they got to watch a couple interesting things happen in the NFC East. We'll touch on that throughout the day, and since the phones are out on Friday, we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513 to react to Giants-Redskins as well. And Lance, you take a look at the NFC East standings tonight. I guess this is where we will start. The Eagles and Cowboys sit atop at 3-1. The Eagles maybe not a huge surprise. I think Dallas's performance against New Orleans certainly was a shocker, and the Giants coming off that big division win against the Redskins.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how the division is playing out over these last few days. You alluded to the fact the Eagles fell to the San Francisco 49ers. Philadelphia was held to just over 200 total yards of offense, something that they're not used to being in that type of position. San Francisco's defense really honed in on them in the second half, and Philadelphia was not able to run the ball for the second straight game. They had struggled against Washington. LeSean McCoy was a non-factor. So was Darren Sproles. They did get some special teams, big game-changing plays as well as defensive plays, but their offense was stagnant for the most part. So they suffer their first loss of the season, and the Cowboys jumped out to a 24-0 lead. Tony Romo and company and that offensive line setting up the run for DeMarco Murray manhandled that Saints defense. New Orleans made it interesting in the second half, but you have Dallas and Philadelphia now tied atop the NFC East standings at 3-1, and the Giants are just one game back. I don't think the Giants could ask to be in any better of a position right now with respect to how the season started. You are 0-2 2 weeks ago. Everybody's hitting the panic button. The offense is up and down. The offense is now starting to click, and they're one game out of first place, knowing that they have the Eagles and the Cowboys coming up in two of the next three games.
No doubt about it. And again, division games are on the horizon for all these teams now. The Giants more so than anybody else. The Cowboys have a couple games coming in the division, one against the Giants specifically. They play the Redskins in a couple of weeks. The Eagles are now dealing with a banged-up offensive line, something that really hindered them in that game against the 49ers yesterday, which was a big loss for them, a chance to win at the end. They haven't been able to run the ball for 2 weeks now. People getting on Chip Kelly for the play calling, which I don't have a huge problem with considering how much they struggled running the football. I get why they tried to throw it in, but a lot of problems with a lot of teams in this division, Lance, right now, and all of a sudden the door looks wide open for the Giants to make a serious run.
Well, we've been talking about this even before the season started, John. This division is wide open as far as I'm concerned. Philadelphia's offense is not going to fade away into the sunset. It's still a very dangerous team, but their defense has had some issues, and the fact that they are not as balanced over the last two games is somewhat of a concern. That's what happens when you go up against good defenses that could take the run away from you. And the Giants' defense has been very good at stopping the run. So that is something that they can hang their hat on. You do want to see a little bit more consistency out of the Giants' defense. They've been prone to give up the big play. And they're going to go up against a Falcons offense this weekend, which is one of the most prolific offenses in the National Football League, specifically passing the football with Roddy White, Julio Jones. Devin Hester has now emerged to become a very consistent offensive weapon, not just the guy who's going to do damage on special teams. They have Harry Douglas. So the laundry list goes on and on with respect to the Falcons. The biggest concern for them, if we're to look at what transpired in that Vikings game, this offensive line for Atlanta is extremely banged up. Three offensive linemen left yesterday's game.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and their offensive line right now is a mess. And the two things that the Falcons knew they had to address this offseason were their offensive line
Absolutely. And
their defense. What are their two issues right now? Their offensive line and their defense. So things haven't gotten a whole lot better for the Falcons. Roddy White's playing through a hamstring. He's not 100%, doesn't look like the same guy. But you're right. They still have explosive weapons on offense, but the question is whether or not Matt Ryan will have enough time to throw the ball to take advantage of those weapons. But there is a danger here. As you mentioned, one of the things that has plagued the Giants on defense this year is the fact that they've given up a lot of big plays. And the Falcons certainly have guys that can go out there and make big plays through the air. So it's something the Giants have to fix. There are way too many times, even in that block game against the Redskins, where it's either Roy Helu or Alfred Morris running free, or no one covering DeSean Jackson, where guys are just running free in the secondary and no one's near them. It's something that has to get cleaned up, and the Giants can't afford to give up those types of big plays moving forward.
Niles Paul also had a big play through three
yep.
defenders. He's another
mm-hmm.
one. There were multiple examples, as John just alluded to, in that Redskins game. And what's interesting about Atlanta, fine, you have Prince and you have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who will be able to man up on Julio Jones and Roddy White,
right.
at least on paper. Doesn't mean they're going to shut down them,
well,
but you at least
not
have
easy.
Two guys that can match up well with their top two wide receivers. To me, what's dangerous about Atlanta, John, what I said moments ago, is also their complementary weapons. Devin Hester could do damage if he's given open space. So you need guys like Tremaine McBride and the linebackers to play well-disciplined football, and that's been the biggest issue, the biggest weakness of this Giants defense, the linebackers specifically. I think if there's one area to hone in on the Giants defense, you want to see improvement, you want to see more consistency out of the linebacking group as a whole. John Beeson was out there practicing today. That's a positive. They may be able to get him back. Odell Beckham Jr. also was out there practicing. We'll get a report a little bit later on from Paul DeTino, but this could be the game, John, where they get at least close to full health as humanly possible based on the early goings of this season.
And Coach Coughlin did just address the media, by the way. Right now the locker room is open. Paul DeTino is going to run in here and join us once the locker room closes, give us an update on what happened in there. But I did go out there and listen to Coach before the show started. He spoke around like 11:48. So I took a listen. It sounds like all the injured guys, Devon Kennard, Beeson, Beckham, they all did a little bit more today. It didn't sound like, and Coach wasn't pressed on it. I'm sure if he was, he probably wouldn't have answered anyway. But Beckham did not appear to practice in full. I'm not sure he did team stuff. It didn't sound like he did based on what Coach said. We'll know more on Wednesday. That'll be the very important day to see how far along he actually is. So right now, I'd still say it's probably a 50-50 shot Beckham plays this weekend, to be honest with you. They seem to be happy with Beeson having that 2 weeks off now, coming off the re-aggravation of the injury in week number two, where they hope that he can come back now and play better and be healthy. So I would guess Beeson's going to play. Kennard, I think we got to wait and see how the hamstring kind of resolves itself. But you mentioned the middle of the field, and Quinton Dempsey's a guy, and Coach talked about him. He said he played well over the weekend. He stepped in for Stevie Brown. He likes his speed sideline to sideline, and that's another way the Giants tried to get better on defense and hoping to give up fewer big plays.
Well, Dempsey is coming off an opportunistic game. He also had one of the six takeaways for the New York Giants, so that rejuvenated this secondary. Not that the secondary needed all of a sudden an ignition. I mean, they had been performing quite well for the most part, but the Giants are of the mindset, hey, if the veterans are not getting it done, we're not just going to stay as is. We're going to shake things up. And that's why you brought in a player like Quinton Dempsey. You didn't bring him in just to return kickoffs. You brought him in because you valued what he could bring to the table as a defensive player, and they're starting to reap the benefits from that by inserting him into the lineup. And if Stevie Brown regains his confidence, he's another weapon that you could use at your disposal throughout the course of the season. But Demp slid in and immediately made an impact, and that's important.
Hey, look, you brought in a guy that's not only a good special teamer, but he started for many years in Philadelphia. That's why you bring him in, to give that type of impact, to step in if Stevie Brown's not playing well, to go in there and play safety. So we'll see over the long haul now whether he can do it. And another thing I want to mention before we go to the calls, and I think this is an important thing to note. We spoke about a lot how a new Giants offense would affect the team earlier in the year. And I think we saw it develop slowly. So we saw the negative part. And I think now we're seeing the positive part of that, where teams don't know what the Giants are going to do because there's not a whole lot of tape on the Giants offense. So I think now we're going to slowly start to see over the next 2-3 weeks. And I think it's going to start really with Dallas and Philly in weeks 6 and 7. They're going to really have a lot of tape now to look at this Giants offense and make defensive adjustments based on what they do. And I think it'll be interesting to see what those two teams come up in their bag of chips to try to combat this Giants offense. Just all of a sudden now, thanks to Larry Donnell, thanks to Ruben Randle, who had his first big game of the year, looks like a pretty efficient force.
Well, Larry Donnell is going to start to get more focus, as he just touched on. So he's going to have to make individual adjustments. The team is going to have to adjust as well. Odell Beckham Jr., whenever he joins the party, that's going to be another weapon that the opposing defense is
whenever
going
that
to
might
have
be.
To account for. We don't know the exact definitive timetable, but that's another weapon that obviously the defense is going to have to pay close attention to. And let's not forget the running game, too, because the running game is starting to show some signs of life. Rashad Jennings and so forth. So as the strengths of the Giants' offense comes to the forefront, how will defenses try to counteract that? That will be the game of chess that will take part in the weeks ahead.
Ready to take the phones?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. Kashawn is down in Maryland. Kashawn, you're up first. You must be around a lot of grumpy Redskin fans, and I'm sure you're letting them know about it.
I am. I just handed one of my coworkers a box of tissue, and he started to, and he started to laugh. I was at the game, and thank you so much, Giants, for giving me my money's worth. I had an awesome time. We literally painted that stadium blue. There were so many Giants fans, and after the fair weather, Redskin fans decided to leave at the beginning of the third quarter. All the Giants fans came down to, you know, the center, to the beginning of the stadium, and we just had a big party. So it was really, really, really nice.
Yeah, Sean, I got to say, I was extremely impressed, and I'll let you finish, obviously. I thought Giant fans had a great showing. And in the fourth quarter, once all the Redskins fans had kind of flown to the exits, there were probably around 15,000 Giant fans all on the lower level. And it looked like a Giant home game. It was a very impressive display by all you Giant fans down there in the Mid-Atlantic states, which we frankly hear from a ton on this program. You guys got out, and you represent the Big Blue extremely well.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, again, there's a lot of Giants fans that live in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So that's it's easy to make it feel like you're right here at MetLife. I am very, very encouraged by this team. And I know Shakespeare's going to kill him because I was the one who talked about that I jumped off the ship. But that's my job. That's my job as a fan. I commend them when they do good, and I hit them on the head when they do bad. And my opinion might change if they come and lay an egg against Atlanta. But I am very encouraged by this team. I think Eli looked great. I didn't think he could even do a West Coast offense, and he really looked proficient. He looked accurate. I mean, he just looked really, really good. I think, like you said, I think the division is wide open. What I'm looking for now, though, I'm looking for consistency. If the Redskins and the Houston game, well, I'll say more the Redskins. The Redskins were the coming out party for the offense of the Giants. I want to see consistency. I want to see you to continue score, 24-plus points against Atlanta, make a statement against Philly, play well against Dallas. I'm looking for consistency. And that's all I have to say. I have everything positive right now.
Well, Kashawn, how about this? Kashawn, if I told you 2-1 in the next three games, would you take that?
Yes.
You would take 2-1, okay?
I would take that. I'm looking. Hopefully, I want to be no worse than 5-3 before the bye. I'll take that.
Well,
I would like 6-2, but 5-3.
They're only going to play 7, Kashawn.
5-2.
If you get an extra win, they'll take it.
So, Kashawn, you want to be at worst 4-3, and you're hoping for 5-2.
Sorry. I don't know why I thought we had. Didn't we have a bye week? Week 8.
The bye week is week 8. So you get 7 games before you play the bye.
Oh, okay. I miscalculated. Okay, so that's what I wanted. Yeah, okay. All right, but no, I'm just really happy. I don't have anything to say really about that. But defense. Quentin Dix played well, so I guess Stevie Brown is going to be a backup, and I guess we'll see how that works. But yeah, guys, I just wanted to say hello, and I'm very encouraged. Go Giants, and I'll call it again sometime during the
right, good to hear from you, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right.
201-939-4513. We haven't heard from Kashawn in a while. Good to hear from you. Haven't heard
absolutely.
Since we've gone to the noontime, which
and
is always
Steve
good.
And Steve in D.C. was also at the Giants game. He actually sent a photo in to us on Twitter, so we appreciate
that.
He did.
He went with his son.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looked like they had a good time. Both sporting the Victor Cruz jerseys.
Correct. And he was the one that removed all Redskins fans from his vicinity. Because
well,
he has that effect on everybody.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if that – I think that just kind of happens. Steve's around and people have a tendency to
exactly
give the man some space.
There you go. That intimidating force.
It's understandable.
Absolutely. I know if I was in the vicinity, I'd run the other way, too.
I guarantee you, when Dettino comes to the room, I'm going to be plastered against this wall trying to be as far away from him as possible.
Though.
I am.
I'll
it's true.
That,
201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. We're taking your calls. Also, your tweets online at hashtag Giants Chat. Back to the phone lines. Ross is in Pennsylvania. Ross, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Love
thanks
the
for calling
show.
In, Ross. Appreciate
here,
it.
Ross. What you got?
Just wanted to give some points, I think, to the Falcons game. One or two defensively and one offensively. I think we're going to keep Eli upright. We're doing a great job of doing that. The line is really working well, it seems like, over the last few games. So we've got to keep consistency, like Kashawn was saying. Also, spreading the ball around. It's always key, I think, you keep the defense guessing. So I think if Odell does start, or at least play, maybe not start, but plays in the game, I think we got to start him early. He has some fresh legs, so getting him early and spreading the ball around to him. Also, pressuring
well,
Matt Ryan,
Ross,
obviously.
I'll let you continue. I just want to interject here real briefly. If he does play this weekend, and I'm curious your thoughts, John, he's probably only going to make an impact on special teams, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to throw him immediately out in the mix, Ross, so quickly. Part of that is, let's not forget, Preston Parker is coming off a very impressive performance against the Washington Redskins, and I understand that that name may not jump off the page and get the fan base excited, but it's all about opportunities on this team, and Preston Parker has taken advantage of his opportunities, so I think that doesn't mean that there's an immediate rush to all of a sudden throw Odell Beckham Jr. out there. Get him in there. If he could chip in on special teams, run a route or two as a wide right. receiver, you get him adjusted, and then slowly, little by little, you increase the amount of reps so that maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, he's ready to go.
And Ross, one other thing, too. Tom Coughlin was asked the question today whether or not Beckham has to be the punt returner before he plays receiver. I didn't quite understand the question. He says, no, he doesn't have to be the punt returner. But that doesn't mean he isn't going to be the punt returner. So just something to keep an eye on as Beckham tries to work his way back into the lineup.
Definitely, and Preston Barker has been really happy he made the team, and he has had some really great catches and been there for Eli, which is great. I love that when Donnell was interviewed after the game, he just has a great attitude.
He does.
They were asking him, like, oh, did you keep the game ball? He was like, no, because there's more coming. So I love that young attitude from him, and I love seeing the Sights and Sounds video that Giants.com puts up. It looks really great when the teams like talking to each other, both offensively and defensively. They're encouraging each other, and you know they're like, "Oh, we'll get you the ball." You know, when they pick it off, and it was great to give the offense back the ball after a few of those interceptions and this Thursday's game. Just a question, and I'll listen off air, and I appreciate it.
No problem, Ross.
We saw the it came through that Ndamukong Suh was saying wanted to come to New York. I personally, he is a great player. Obviously, he's a force. But I really would – he said he wanted to expand his brand and he wanted to come to a big market. I personally don't want him, like I said, because he is a dirty player. And I want a guy who wants to play, you know, for the team, for Coughlin, to win a championship. And I just want to get your guys' opinion on that. So thank you very much.
Hi, Ross. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks so much. And, Ross, I'll say this about Sue, okay? He's a great player. Does he make some and do some dirty things from time to time? Sure. But in my opinion – he played for a coach that allowed him to do those types of things in Jim Schwartz. And I think we're seeing a whole new culture around the Lions this year with Jim Caldwell as their head coach in a good way. I mean, that team looks so much more disciplined, so much better put together, so much more balanced on both sides of the ball. And I think if Sue would come here under Tom Coughlin, I don't think he would do those types of things. But I would pause when you hear a player say, I want to come to New York because it helps my brand, not because you want to play football. So that's something I would worry about too. But that being said, I mean, he's a heck of a football player. If you remember, the Giants made a huge run at Sean Rogers when he was, you know, when he was in his prime and they wanted to bring him in. I'm trying to remember that other big defensive tackle they tried to make a run. Help me out. Albert Haynesworth. Thank you, Neely. I couldn't remember the name. Albert Haynesworth. The Giants made a huge run at him, and they were going to bring him in here. And Albert Haynesworth basically almost removed Andre Girard's eyeball when he stomped on his helmetless face. So the Giants will bring in guys here that are talented that they think they can help become better people. So I wouldn't rule a guy like Sue out, but remember, that cost is going to be
huge.
Prohibitive. I mean, he's going to probably look for a $100 million contract in that J.J. Watt neighborhood. So just something to keep in mind as you figure those things out.
Well, they tabled contract negotiations on an extension with the Lions earlier this season because they couldn't come to an agreement. So
they can still franchise him, though, too, right?
They could very well do that. That's still an option. I would agree with you. I think that he has changed his act this season.
Yeah.
The best example that jumps out to me, correct, when they were against the Green Bay Packers, not this past weekend, the previous weekend, he sacks Aaron Rodgers, and he actually helps pick up Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't see that.
Yes.
Really?
So, I mean, that was an earth-shattering development considering back in the day, and Ndamukong Suh would never help an opposing quarterback get back up after he sacks him. So he has changed his act. But remember, just because a player is interested in coming to New York doesn't mean that the team is going to reciprocate those feelings.
Remember, guys, the Giants have a ton of work to do next offseason. You have Prince, who's going to be on the last year of his deal. JPP is a free agent. Mathias Kiwanuka is a free agent. Walter Thurman's going to be a free agent.
A lot of one-year deals.
Yeah, a lot of one-year deals that you're going to have to figure out here. Jamil McClain, I think, signed the two-year deal, so he's going to be here for one more season after this one. Robert Ayers, I believe, signed the two-year deal as well. He'll have one weird deal left on his contract. But the Giants will be – and Antro Rose, a free agent. That's the other big name I forgot. And Eli Manningly is 1 year left. So there's a lot of guys that you're going to have to figure out next year what you're going to want to do with. So bringing in a big money guy like that's going to be rough. Granted, the Giants will be carrying over a large amount of money from this year's cap to next year's, which will help. But, again, Sue would be a huge, huge investment. But – I knew we were going to get a call about that today. Not surprised.
He did make some headlines with that, and anytime you throw out New York, clearly that's going to get a lot of attention.
Right.
I'm actually bringing up some of the defensive tackles here to just see who potentially is under contract. Hankins is not a free agent until 17.
And Colin Jenkins has one more year left, too. He's on the three-year deal. I believe he has 1 year
Jenkins
left, right?
Jenkins is going to be a free agent in 16, correct?
Right.
So he still has one more year left on his deal.
Kiwi's a free agent.
Kuhn is a free agent in 16.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to afford.
Well, I'm just saying you got to look at least the defensive tackles,
right.
In terms of the person.
On the bright side, the offensive line is all locked up. I mean, maybe you want to go out there and try to bring in another offensive line, but at least the guys we have on the team are going to be here for a while. So, and that's kind of where we are. Rashad Jennings signed a 3-year deal. So
Mike Patterson's a free agent this season too.
That's a good one too. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Let's go to Dre down in Atlanta. Dre, are you getting ready for Giants and Falcons?
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you, Dre?
Going?
Doing well.
I'm doing great. Just wanted to let you know, quite impressed with my boys on Thursday night. Can't stand the Redskins, but I like the Cowboys a lot less. But I'm going to tell you, living in Atlanta, all I hear is about what the Falcons are going to do to the Giants, especially after that last game when they skunked us 34-0.
That was a bad one.
Yeah.
That was a bad
right.
one.
Right. But I do believe Minnesota gave us a blueprint. We're definitely going to be able to run that ball, and I definitely believe we're going to be able to toss the ball. Now, my apprehension is, and has always been, the consistency. Now, I was quite surprised that after a good game against Houston, you know, Eli showed up. I need him to show up again at home and give the home crowd something to scream for, because trust me, I'm going to be all blued out down here in Atlanta, and I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to a great game. Now,
Jay, hold on one second. Jay, real quick, I'll let you finish. I do think this is going to be a big running game, though, because, you know, you said it, the Vikings almost ran for 200 yards, I think over 200
yards,
actually. 241
yards.
Exactly.
Yeah,
against the Falcons yesterday, they ran the ball all over them. So I can see this trying to be a game where the Giants try to get a lead, they run the football, control the clock, and once they have the lead against this Atlanta Falcon offensive line, where they might be holding open tryouts for, like, you know, high school kids throwing all this week with all the injuries they have, you know, they can really go after Matt Ryan and they can get a lead and control that line of scrimmage. So I think this is probably less of an Eli Manning game and more of a Rashad Jennings game, in my opinion, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, cool. And do you think we'll double Julio Jones?
I would. Honestly, you know, the way Roddy White's running, and he did not run well last week, yesterday rather, I don't think he looked 100%. To me, if I'm playing, and it's the same strategy I take, and I think the Saints did this last night against Dallas. They said, look, Des Bryant's not going to beat us. We're going to roll a safety over. We're going to make somebody else beat us. Now, the Cowboys had Terrence Williams go out there and make him pay for that. Jason Witten go out there and make him pay for that. But with Roddy White hurt and the rest of the Falcons, tight ends, and wide receivers, do they have the other guys going to kill you? I think you make those guys beat Prince Amukamara, Tremaine McBride one-on-one. I'm not sure if they can. If I'm the Giants, I do not let Julio Jones beat me next week, period. And if somebody else does, you make an adjustment, you tip your cap, and you go from there.
Last question. Do you really think Odell Beckham's going to make an appearance? Because I think he's really the X factor. I don't care if he plays 12 snaps. I just need to see him on the field just to get a little continuity with Eli. After that, I'm good. You guys have a good one.
Hey,
right,
thanks,
Dre.
Appreciate
the phone
it, man.
Call. Really depends on how much he practices.
Oh,
the rest
boy.
Of the week.
I mean,
what it's gonna come
if
down
you
to.
Would have asked me last Friday, I would have said I would think there's a more than 50% chance he would play. But I didn't sound super encouraged listening to Coach Coughlin today. I wasn't discouraged, but I wasn't like, oh, boy, this guy sounds like he's, you know, ready to go. I didn't get that feeling.
Well,
that,
part
you know,
of
this
it is I don't think they want to put expectations through the roof surrounding him as well. So I think it's a little bit of the PR machine in work. But I think, once again, even if he's active, you're not going to see him play a big-time role in this upcoming game. I think it's more just to get his feet wet. And then as the weeks progress leading up to the bye, you'll see a little bit more. And then once you get to the opposite end of the bye, then they'll give him the green light to go out there and do what he can do.
Yeah, I don't think this necessarily affects the Giants coaching staff, front office, or trainer's thought process. It really doesn't. But from a big picture perspective, it makes it a little bit easier taking your time with him now, the way the last 2 weeks have gone.
The way
the passing game has been successful, the way that Preston Parker has played, the way that Larry Donnell has played, it makes it a lot easier not to rush this guy back because you're having production coming from other guys. You're not like, oh, boy, we got to do something. Let's throw some darts at the wall and hope something works out well. As I almost knocked my headset off.
Say, you all right?
Yeah,
you're
I'm okay. Thank
excited.
You. Yeah, I know.
The fan base is not even as excited as you about Odell Beckham.
But it makes it easier to hold him back because the offense has been better the last couple of days.
The mindset has changed over the span of 2 weeks. If you would have asked me after the Cardinals game, John, I would have told you that the coaching staff is probably of the mindset, boy, we better get OBJ back sooner than later. Now, all of a sudden, I think they're of the mindset, you know what? The offense has improved. We're in better shape. We have a little bit more depth than we anticipated. Guys are taking advantage of their opportunities. Donnell Parker. Maybe we don't necessarily have to push the button to accelerate the process to get him back on the field. That doesn't mean that there's no urgency to get him on the field. don't misinterpret my words, but I don't think that you need to rush him maybe as much as you thought you needed to do 2 weeks prior. So I definitely think the mindset has changed. And after the bye is when you're really going to see him have an opportunity to make an impact on this team. But you would like to get some reps out of him over the next three games.
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Brian in New York has been holding the longest. Brian, what's going on?
Hi, John.
Hey, Brian.
I just wanted to state that sometimes it pays to be a homer in fantasy football because Larry Donnell just won me the game.
You know, it's funny, Brian. Actually, a team I was playing this week had Larry Donnell on their bench. I was very grateful about that. They started Vernon Davis over Larry Donnell. I was quite happy about that.
Did you still lose the game, though? Or is that a different league?
Different league.
Okay. Just double checking. Anyway, yeah, continue.
I don't want to
get
into
that. Sorry about that, Brian. What you got?
I just got – it doesn't even look like the Giants are even playing on that field right now. It is so different to watch these players play. And who doesn't have a tight end? The New York Giants have one. And I was hearing – I read an article about Jerry Reese saying Adrian Robinson could be like the Julius Thomas. Larry Donnell looks like Julius Thomas from – the Denver Broncos.
Well, and you know what? The thing about it, too, Brian, you know, Julius Thomas is a former basketball player. So is Larry Donnell. So that might actually be a better comparison. Though, again, and Larry Donnell's been great as a receiver. I'm not trying to downplay it. He still needs to get better as a blocker. He still struggles a little bit in that area.
And, Brian, just to clarify, the comment was he was saying that any tight end on this team who's not a known commodity could become a Julius Thomas from last season. He wasn't necessarily just comparing Adrian Robinson. That was at his opening season press conference. And he said, hey, listen, Julius Thomas came out of nowhere last year. Why can't one of our Giants tight ends do that? That was the point that he was making.
I see. I must have misread that.
No worries.
But Eli Manning, complete turnaround. Nobody's looking for his head. Tom Coughlin's got his job. Thank God. Have a good day,
fellas. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate the call. By the way, I'm happy you opened the door for me to complain.
Because
I'm going to do that right now.
Get the violin out, everybody.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, you decided to take a shot at me for being 1-3 in the fantasy football
league. I just know
somebody
in our league left Larry Donnell on the bench, and I thought it may have been your team.
Well, FYI, I have the second most points in the league. I'm going to be 1-3 after today.
Get the violin.
All right?
All right.
My team is – other teams have scored over 500 points against my fantasy team. The next highest scoring against team is 440. So people have scored 60 more points against me than any other team in the league.
Well, that's why fantasy football is not always a science. It's luck.
And this is, by the way, just to pump myself a little bit more here, this is despite the fact I drafted Adrian Peterson.
Which you couldn't have anticipated at the time.
Oh, and I still have the fourth most points in the league. What kind of GM and coaching job is that?
Is that right? Or McKinney?
I did not. No, so I've made do.
It's amazing. Well, bring up you have your scoreboard from this past week.
I do.
So we could break it down. Kids
scored 145 points against me.
I remember you having a huge week this week.
I scored 115 points. That's pretty good.
That is.
Philip Rivers put 33 up for me. Roddy White at 17. Freddie Jackson had like 6 catches, 50 yards.
No, you had a balanced attack. Listen, everybody in double figures except two. Not bad.
I know. I lose again. Bad luck. So I got Colby Fleener putting up 11 points, and DeAndre Hopkins and Reggie Wayne combined for 40 points. I mean, come on. Can't catch a break here. And then Drew Brees had a lot of garbage time points at the end of that game last night after it was over. So, you know, when the kicker puts up 16 points against you have a little bad luck.
That doesn't bode too well for you.
No, it doesn't at all. 201-939-4513. So now I'm getting a little chippy.
Oh, I can tell. I'm just sitting back and listening.
Jim in Alabama. Jim, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks.
Thanks,
Jim. The question is really about Jerry Reese in the front office, and this is a good question. It's not an attacking question.
Okay.
when I look at what the Giants have done, and not just with Larry Donnell, but with the depth that they have at tight end, I mean, Daniel Fellows is you know, they got a good backup tight end. I just look back and kind of I'm amazed at the way the Giants find these guys, especially like undrafted free agents. They did it with Victor Cruz. They did it with Larry Donnell. Looks like they did it with Corey Washington, and I don't know that any other team in the NFL can pull this off, except maybe New England with a guy like Danny Woodhead is the only person I can think of. Could you guys just comment on, I mean, how good a draft, a scout, how good are our scouts and our general management across the NFL? to be able to find this kind of talent. It blows me away, and I think it just shut everybody. Larry Donnell shut everybody up that was complaining about tight end.
Well, you know, Jim,
you guys are getting hounded in the offseason. So I'll listen offline. That's my question. Just hope you guys are commenting on that.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. You know, it's funny. I think a lot of times sometimes the front office has better luck with some of these undrafted guys that they find, or in a case like Daniel Fells, someone they picked off the scrap heap. You know that's not necessarily Jerry Reese. That's more the pro personnel side of things. Though Jerry Reese has the final decision on who to sign, obviously. But, you know, you have your college scouting staff, then you have your pro personnel staff. So, they've done a good job finding some of these unknown guys, whether it's Daniel Fells, whether it's, Larry Donnell, we mentioned him. You got a guy like, you know, Marcus Kuhn was drafted, but you got a lot of these guys that, you know, Victor Cruz is another one, obviously. You know, Preston Parker's a guy that was building tiki huts last year. They pulled off the scrap heap. So there are a lot. They do a good job finding some of these no-name guys.
Aiden Hillis last year was also off the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they do have a better track record in bringing in some of these unknown commodities or undrafted players or free agents that were let go three or four times versus the draft. Because when you evaluate the draft, it hasn't necessarily been anything to ride
home. It's like half the time the guys that are undrafted have a better percentage chance of making it to the third
round. Which is unheard of. Usually, you get drafted. You increase your chances of making a team.
I know.
You don't get drafted. You have a better chance of making a team.
You know what, though? But I think that's a credit to the coaching staff, too, that you have a coaching staff here. And I don't think Kevin Elmgro Bryant's got enough credit here for the job he's done with these three young tight ends, too, by the way, to get them to play to the level that they've gotten them to play at, especially Larry Donnell. And you have to give the coaching staff credit for developing these guys. It's easier to you know, develop these guys you draft that are these super athletes that do well at the combine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's easy. It's hard to bring in these guys who's from Grambling, who's like Corey Washington, from a Division II school, where you have to really teach them a lot. And I think it's to a credit to this coaching staff and head coach and the position coaches and how they go about their business that has gotten these unknown guys to where they are today.
Player development.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Exactly.
Ben McAdoo is also a former positional coach. Tom Coughlin is a former positional coach. You know, the one thing that's unique about this staff, and maybe unique is not the right word because coaching staffs are very varied across the NFL, but when you have people in influential positions, John, that came from the bottom, meaning they worked with fullbacks and running backs and wide receivers, they can understand what it takes to develop and hone the craft of their players, and I think we have started to see that over the last few years.
How about this, too? Craig Johnson's coached quarterbacks. He's coached running backs. Kevin Gilbride's coached wide receivers. He's coached tight end. Sean Ryan has been quality control, wide receiver, quarterback.
Craig Johnson's quarterbacks and running backs.
Yeah,
has been
correct. So, I mean, you got a lot of guys here that have coached multiple positions, so I think that's probably a big part of it, too. 201-939-4513. But you're right. I don't think they get enough credit for developing those guys that maybe they should.
Before we get back to the full course, just a tweet on J-Ron Hosley, and we haven't addressed that. J-Ron Hosley was activated. He's back with the team. A couple of you were asking, what are they going to do with him? Well, just in terms of the schematics, the Giants have been given a one-game exemption, so they don't have to technically make a decision about J-Ron Hosley until a week from today at 4 p.m. So he can stay with the team through the Falcons game. After the Falcons game, they then have to determine, do we put him on the 53 or do we cut him? So he could practice with the team this entire week. They have one game to experiment and toy with to see where he's at this
point. Now, here's the thing about it. The Giants need depth at cornerback. So I think to a certain extent there's a chance they're going to keep him just because if Tremaine McBride gets hurt, what are they going to do? Are they going to put a rollback in the slot all of a sudden? That's not something you want to do. So do you keep him around just to have depth at that position considering the injury you had to Walter Thurman III? I think it's something you consider, but he's got to play better. He did not play very well in the preseason.
He did struggle. Yeah. So he has to show what he can do during the course of this week. And then the other thing is, if you do bring him aboard, who do you then get rid of? So, you know, it's a game of mathematics at this point.
Yeah.
In terms of where you are full health. Perhaps, you know, Odell Beckham comes back. That changes how many wide receivers they want to keep.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's easy. Well, you could always put Julian Talley back on the practice squad.
Correct.
That's easy. And I still think they're overloaded one on the offensive line. They've had two offensive linemen inactive every single game this year, and James Brew and Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
You don't need two offensive linemen inactive each week. You just don't.
That's a good point.
So I think you could probably make a move there and not get hurt.
Plus, with Adam Snyder now coming aboard, I think the line is a little bit healthier than it was a few weeks ago.
And Schwartz is getting closer to making a return. He's only a few weeks away rather than half a season. So one other tweet I want to get to before we get back to your phones. At John Burton 32, thoughts on Jaquan Williams? Thought he'd be the next Jesse Armstead, but he always looks out of position to me. Yeah, and you're right, John. He does look out of position from time to time. I think boy, you know, he's a tough guy to figure out. He's a really good athlete. He's a good kid. He tries hard. And I think when you ask him to do the things that he's good at, like playing guys man-to-man on defense and things like that, he's very good. When you start asking him to play zone defense, making reads, making decisions, and making judgments, that's when I think he tends to struggle. When you just tell, be an athlete, go there, play a man, and do your thing, I think he's good. And I think in the end, while Jesse Armstead was a very versatile, intelligent, football-savvy guy, I think Jaquan Williams is still coming into his own in that regard. Until he gets there, that's kind of what's holding him back right now.
I would agree with that assessment. I think the linebackers as a whole have struggled within this zone scheme apparatus
in terms of
communication.
Frankly, I think the whole secondary has. Not just the linebackers.
Correct. But the linebackers, to me, there's areas where, right. Hey, if you can make that initial contact, you'll prevent it from exploding into a much bigger play. So that's why I put the brunt of not just the blame but the communication breakdown sometimes at times with the linebackers. But Williams has flashed. We've seen that. I mean, I go back to 2011.
He flashed back in the
season
as a rookie.
His best year. Yeah, 2011. He came aboard. And
covered tight ends great.
Time plays, correct. Yeah. Even throughout that postseason run where he was all over the place. Since then, part of it's been injuries. Hasn't been able to stay fully healthy. And now that he's fully healthy here in 2014, it's just very up and down. A game, a play here or there, and then a breakdown here or there. So, you know, with Jaquan Williams, I would say the jury is still out. And the reason I say the jury is still out, he has been hurt over these last few seasons. So the resume is not as big to grade him on as it should be, even though we're entering year number four right
now. See, I'm not willing to say the jury's still out. To me, the jury's back. He is what he is. What you have with Jaquan Williams now is what Jaquan Williams is going to be. He's going to be a guy that's good at certain things, not good at other things. He's worthy of a spot on the roster. He's worthy to get playing time. But if you still think he's going to blossom into some type of pro bowler, I think that I think it would have happened by now if that was going to happen.
But I think he could be a more consistent player.
Sure.
And I think you could get that out of him.
I don't disagree with that.
You don't necessarily need a pro bowler, but you can get a guy who, hey, you know, you put him in that spot, he'll at least make plays for you.
201-939-4513. Steve is in Washington, D.C. Steve, did you enjoy the game on Thursday? I think you did.
Blast.
Excellent.
We had a blast, man. We had a really, really good time. It was nothing but a sea of blue. Redskins fans was leaving the early third quarter, man. You know, had an awesome time. Great, great win. I was very pleased with the team, you know. It's nice to have a win, man, where, you know, your heart is not in your chest and you're just, you know, worried about if you're going to have an aneurysm trying to get a win.
Now, hold on 1 second, Steve. I want you to be honest with you for a second.
You got it.
End of the first half. Giants up 21-7. Redskins driving down the field. They get it inside the 20. Nihlas Paul catches that ball at, like, the 16-yard line. You were feeling a little nervous, weren't you?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
All right, I just want you to be honest, my friend.
No doubt about it. But I tell you, you know, something I seen a few years ago when they asked Eli Beasley, just something in Eli's eye was just saying, you know, even really going back, I guess, to the Arizona game, just you could just see the determination in his eye to, you know, to be a winner. So I really like what I see, his body language, his attitude, you know, played a great game. You know, he's played well the last couple of games.
Yes.
Obviously, hats off to the offensive line.
Quite frankly, Eli played pretty well against Arizona, too, except for those interceptions. Otherwise, he was pretty solid in that game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, he played very well. And, of course, you know, like I said, you know, I think the biggest surprise for everybody other than, you know, our tight end position, which is not a surprise to our GM, and I'm going to get back to that real quick. But, I just feel, you know, I'm real pleased with the offensive line and, you know, and the coaching as well. I think that the coaches have really put the players in a position to win, and I like the way the play calling is going. But with that being said, guys, I don't really hear anybody giving Jay Reese the credit he deserves, you know. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, I mean, especially my man Charlie from Maine. Everybody talks about, you know, we don't have the players, you know. And it turns out we actually do have the players. But everybody wants to give credit to the coaches for coaching the players up. But what about, you know, the person who brought them here?
That's fair.
Who helped brought them here.
Very fair.
I also give a lot of credit to the ownership because I don't think 2 years ago we would be seeing these young guys getting the opportunity that they're getting. And I think that's a big part of it, man. You got to, you know, I'm just glad we're getting away from.
Well, Steve, what young guys specifically are you talking about here? Larry Donnell's been in the league for 3 years.
Of course, Larry Donnell. I'm talking about...
Everyone else is veterans. They're all veterans.
Don't tell me you're still disappointed about Michael Cox, Steve. Is that where we're going back to this?
Nah,
you're still singing
I'm
the blues about
Michael
Cox. That's what it is.
But I'm not so sure Williams will be getting the touches he's been getting.
Here's the thing, though. Andre Williams, Steve, Andre Williams has shown he's wise beyond his years. He doesn't play like a rookie. Andre Williams plays like a veteran. That's why he's getting the playing time he's getting.
Yeah, but this is what I don't want to see, guys. I'm glad we kind of let Jennings get some rest last game because I think he's going to definitely need it.
Yep.
He's definitely a workhorse. So I want to see Williams, and I want to see a little bit more of Peyton Hillis. I want to see us use our fullback a little bit more. And I have a quick question, guys. What do we do with Schwartz when he comes back?
Right now, I think if this offensive line's playing the way it is now and John Jerry continues to perform, I think Schwartz is your first guy swingman off the bench. I don't think you put him into the lineup here and mess with this chemistry. I don't think you can do it the way they're playing. I wouldn't do it. I know it might be a tough pill for Jeff Schwartz to swallow, but look at it this way. It'll give him some extra time now to slowly work his way back. You don't have to put him in there right away. You let him slowly get back into the groove, Steve, and you see what happens.
Steve, let's not forget, last year, and I'll let you continue, David Deal gets hurt. Justin Pugh takes over. Deal comes back, and there were other injuries, so he got put back into the lineup.
But Pugh stayed there.
Yeah, they weren't going to take Pugh out because Pugh was playing good at the time. So I think it's the same philosophy that you have to adopt in this situation. John Jerry's been a pleasant surprise. Richburg's getting comfortable. You drafted him in the second round for a reason. Yes, you invested money in Schwartz, but you don't disrupt something that's good because you waited this long to get to this point. Why would you now jeopardize that?
Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way on that, guys. All the way.
I'm glad you're with us because we would have had to cut you off on the phone line if you weren't. So I'm glad
that
you
specified
that.
Come on, man. You know how much trouble it took me through to get there. I've been trying to get through for a week now, man.
It's all good, though, Steve. Go ahead. We're just playing with you, man. It's all good.
Hey, listen, guys. My thing is this. I'm really not too excited to bring Beeson back early or Rush Odell Beckham for that matter. And I just wanted to get you guys to talk about a little bit about where do you think Beeson is health-wise, and do you think it would really serve him well to kind of give him some extra rest, especially while we're winning, as opposed to bringing him back prematurely and his foot not completely healing? Because my thing is this. As long as we're winning, I want to give him as much time so he can have a clean bill of health because I don't want to bring him back. You mess with the continuity.
Steve, honestly, even if you leave him out till the bye week, I don't think he's going to have a clean bill of health this whole season. I think that foot's something that's not going to be 100% till you get the next year, to be honest with you.
Going to have to manage it the whole
year.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Well, Odell Beckham, I want to see him come back. Get on the field, but I want him completely healthy. I do not want to re-aggravate this hamstring. So I just hope that when we do bring him back, we are almost as 100% sure as we can possibly can be that this kid is healthy and ready to go.
I agree, hey, Steve. Man. No question.
Hey, listen, great show. Thanks for taking my call. I'm listening, guys. I'm definitely listening. I just, I can't always get through. So
It's all good, Steve. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate that. Good chatting
with you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve. 201-939-4513. And by the way, we should mention that whole phone thing we had where you're like the 15-minute limited now. That we fixed it. It's good.
Don't jinx it, though.
We fixed it.
We'll have
good.
To deal with it next week.
So,
thanks to Schmel.
Hopefully, we should be able to get everything back the way it used to be with getting guys on hold, and you don't have to call a million times to try to get through. So that should help out a little bit. 201-939-4513. Nugs is up in Minneapolis. What's going on, Nugs?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, bud? Long time no speak, dude.
My last call was right before game one. I already predicted we were going to go 10-6 and make a big run in the playoffs, so I just wanted to see how it played
out. Do I got
out.
Nugs up here? I do have Nugs up here.
There
you go, Nugs. I don't know if you're watching online, but you got your prediction right here on the wall.
August 21st.
Yeah, August 21st at 10:17 a.m.
Yep. So I've just been gauging how Giant fans are responding to the team. You know what I mean? I like to just sit back and watch how the tide goes from DEFCON 2 to, everybody's all happy now or whatever. But let's not forget, it's just 2-2. This is a
Correct.
Quarter mark of the season.
100%, Nugs, no question.
My question. question is, why don't because I've been looking at Jaquan Williams, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, do you think there's ever any chance that maybe we can see what he looks like with his hand in the dirt? I know we had that. I know we had
to
that
me, Nuggs, honestly, I'm going to cut you off because he, to me, is not a physical guy that's going to rush the passer. To me, he's a speed guy that's an athlete that can cover. He's not a guy that's going to get overly physical with an offensive lineman and beat him to the quarterback. To me, that's not his game.
Yeah, he just looks like he's having, you know, Emmys left and right. You know what I mean? just watching him out
Jaquan
there.
Jaquan struggles in the zone defense. Like, honestly, Nuggs, that's what it is. I think Jaquan struggles in zone a lot, so I think when you ask him to do that, he has some issues. But when you ask him to play man-to-man, I think he's pretty good at it.
Yeah. And do you think Eli is going to lead the league in rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks this year?
Well, I got to tell you, but
he's got a head start in that.
Between Eli Manning on Thursday, then you had Tony Romo running for 14 yards in slow motion last night. You got all these older quarterbacks trying to get there and match the younger guys in the league these days. It's very funny.
Yeah, I'm just I didn't really have too much as far as X and O's, but I think it's good that that we stuck with Larry Donnell. I remember in the off season going at Anita a couple times and telling her that she's giving them a lot of bulletin board material, and it looks like them dudes still have them words that she was saying, you know, because she was saying we didn't have no talent at the tight end, and I'm looking at this dude like he's 6'6", 260, man, throw it up there, you know what I mean? I mean, if Larry Donnell keeps playing like this, we got to get him a nickname. I'm working on it. It's probably going
to
take me a couple weeks.
All right, that's fine.
You talk
well,
to
you have one call back. Yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think we got to give my boy some love, man. You know what I mean? To be a player who got picked up off the street, who's been cut a couple times. You know what I mean? I think those are the type of guys that we need on our team. You know, guys who weren't first round picks.
Well, you got a number of them on the roster right now.
Yeah, and look at what they're doing. It's like, come on, give me that opportunity, man. You know what I mean? And he's going in there. He's really producing, but it all comes down to looks. It all comes down to touches. I mean, I want to piggyback on what a couple of callers said before me. When Schwartz comes back, he better come off the bench. He better come off the bench. We do not see the offensive line. We need chemistry on the offensive line. I'm seeing that we got it. John Jerry, I was bucking for him in the preseason because he was the meanest offensive lineman we had. You know what I mean? I know he was going against third string in the preseason, but he was finishing blocks.
Well, Nuggs, well, the thing about it, too, he was also hurt in the preseason, too. It took John Jerry a while to get over that knee injury. Now that he's healthy, he's playing a lot better.
Yeah. And I don't want to see musical chairs on the offensive line. I know we pay Schwartz a lot of money to come in, but at the same time, you can be a well paid backup, and if we need you, then you come in because I like to see my quarterback with no dirt on his jersey. I love that. I'm like, dang, Eli's the cleanest dude on the field.
Hey,
no, you know
the thing
I'm
too.
Saying?
Look, here's the thing too. Offensive linemen get hurt. You would love to go through a whole year with your offensive line being intact. Doesn't happen. So you're going to need those guys off the bench. I mean, look how much Kevin Booth played the last 2 or 3 years. He was never supposed to be a starter. He ended up starting 12 or 13 games each year. So you're going to need somebody to step in at some point and replace someone.
Even
so
Jim
and
Cordell,
I agree with you 1,000%, but let's not force it.
100%.
Never,
I agree.
We never forced Kevin Booth into the lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because he was healthy and could play. It was like, okay, wait until we need you to play, you know, but stay ready. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I'm looking at Eli. He's looking like Aaron Rodgers to me. You know what I'm saying? Because you know I'm up here in Minnesota, so I've seen that type of offense. You know what I mean? A lot up here because we get a lot of Packers and Vikings games up here. And I'm looking at Eli. I'm looking at his footwork with the right leg back, and you know I'm like, okay, you know he's picking up that offense now. And I just want to remind Giants fans that's the quarterback we got. Of course, Larry Donnell's starting to look like Julius Thomas because we got a Manning throwing him the ball with time, you know what I'm saying, and rhythm. I'm not really too much worried about PBJ, you know. I'm not going to call him OBJ until he's on the field and producing. He's PB&J, okay? We're not talking about the player, like Coughlin said. You know what I mean? Let Preston Parker. He's earned his dues. No, he's not. No, he's not the 4-3 guy. but he's a tough guy. I'm watching him. He's out there. He's finishing blocks as a wide receiver, and he's doing whatever it takes for us to win.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
When Odell comes back, you know, that'll just be another luxury we have. But till then, let's go and handle this business in Atlanta.
All right, Nugs. Appreciate the phone call.
Bro.
Thanks so much for weighing in.
Makes a good point.
Absolutely.
But you know what, though? I mean, people want to, you know, people giving Anita a hard time. I mean, look, she's not the only one that thought this Giant tight end position was in a rough spot this offseason. I mean, look, they didn't have guys that were proven. And you can say you think Larry Donnell can do it. But even if you watch practice every day, which we all did, you didn't think Larry Donnell was going to come out and do this and be a touchdown machine. You just didn't. So let's not throw stones in glass houses here, okay? I don't want people running around telling you I told you so. I didn't see anybody running around with Larry Donnell jerseys back in May, okay? So let's be fair about it.
No, I don't think anybody expected them to be a superstar, but you don't need a superstar at the tight end position, especially in this offense or, you know, in every single offense. You just need guys to make plays and be consistent. And I think that there was enough potential
Easier said than done, though. No one's ever done it before.
I just went based on the track record of the organization. That was the only thing that I put stock into.
Right.
It wasn't that I had a majority of stock in Donnell as an individual, Fells as an individual. It's just development with respect to the tight ends has bode very well for this organization based on the Ballards of the world, the Kevin Bosses of the world, and so forth. So if you apply that rationale behind what's now taking place, it would make sense.
Yeah, but were you happy with what the tight end position did last year?
No, because Brandon Myers didn't fully develop into a blocker.
Right.
I mean, if they just asked him to run out, do routes, receive the football, I think he would have been fine. But they wanted him to block, and he just wasn't a good fit for that. However, Martellus Bennett was a very strong fit for this system, too. And keep in mind, Martellus Bennett was backing up Jason Witten for years before he all of a sudden blossomed here with the Giants. So I don't want to hear, oh, well, Martellus Bennett had a tremendous amount of upside. Yeah, he was young, but he never really had an opportunity in Dallas to evaluate him enough to know that it was going to translate over.
All right, we got 8 minutes. We'll see if Tino makes his way in here and graces us with his presence with news from the locker room or not.
He never turns down an opportunity yet.
Well,
so
I know. I texted him. I don't know where he's at.
We're ticking away the minutes here.
Well, we got three calls. Please. We got 8 minutes. We got to try to get everybody in before we say goodbye. Let's go to Orlando and Fresh Meadows. Actually, I'm sorry, Drew in Virginia. He's been home the longest. Let's go to Drew first. Drew, what's up, pal?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
How are you, Drew?
Doing well, Drew. What you got?
Great, man. It's been about trying to get in here. It's like trying to hit the lottery. Hey, man. yeah, I'm glad you got those phones fixed up.
Yeah, we're all good to go now, my friend.
Yeah, for the sake of John's stress level, I'm very happy, too.
Say what? That was
Drew,
it was quite the ordeal, let me tell you.
You could tell.
Yeah, man. It was. I tell you right now, it was kind of frustrating, man, trying to get through those phones. But, again, you got it fixed. So let me press on because you got all the callers.
Yeah.
First and foremost, man, with regards to Larry Donnell, man, I mean, yeah, nobody saw this coming. You know, I will tell you I didn't see it coming either. But I think we tend to forget because I think it's been noted before. Eli Manning has a way of making tight ends, and we've noted that in the past. And, you know, because Eli likes a big receiver, and that's Donnell. So, you know, kudos to him, man. The guy is looking great.
Andrew, I want to add one more thing to it really quick. Donnell knows how to use his size. The Giants have had big guys here that are big but didn't know how to use their body and position themselves to make plays. Ramsey's Barden.
Right,
but Larry Donnell
right
really does a good job of doing that.
Yes, you're exactly right, and that's something, and you know what, I missed that point, but yeah, that's something that you can clearly see. He knows he has the advantage, but not only that, you know, the kid can catch too.
Yeah, he's got good hands.
So, right, he's got good hands. So you know, that's the other thing that really makes a difference, and you could clearly see that Eli is clearly confident in him. That said, I hope Eli doesn't get a case of what he got with Burris at one time, where that was the only player on the field, because, you know.
Well, but, Drew, in fairness, I think that if you look at the target distribution over the last few weeks, it's been pretty much the philosophy of spread the wealth. Randall got a lot of targets this last game. Cruz has been more involved. Parker's getting his targets. So while Donnell is the biggest influence on this offense and the guy that's making the most of his opportunities because he's getting in the end zone, I think it's been a fairly even distribution if you look at the numbers carefully.
No, I'm not denying that, and I'm not you're exactly right. Okay, I'm just saying, I just hope it doesn't turn that way, because you know, at one point in time, you know, we had that issue with Eli and Burris. Again,
you get
they
your
produce.
Favorite, and then all of a sudden you continually lean on him, even though there's other players that are open and can be productive. It's a fair point. I get you.
Right. That. However, though, you know, again, not to take anything from Eli. I got to tell you right now, I almost fell out my seat when Steve gave Eli the credit that he gave him. I'm like, oh, my God, really?
Steve's on board, Drew. He's on board.
Yeah, tell him, man. Tell him I'm impressed, man. I keep telling you, man, Eli's not – you give Eli time, he'll murder you, man. So they look good. I tell you right now, I didn't watch much of the game, man, you know, especially after it turned out a blowout because I watched that Jeter game, that last game in Yankee Stadium. That was impressive, man.
Why are you bringing that up? You're going to make me feel bad. I had tickets to that game. I would have been there.
He said he watched it. He didn't say he was
there.
But
he still brought it up.
Oh, please.
The violin was really out today.
My goodness.
I
open up Pandora's box.
And by the way,
about everything.
Did you eat breakfast
today, too? Would you like to complain about that? We still have some time.
I haven't eaten lunch yet, actually, which is fine. But you know what? I have not even watched the replay of that yet because I don't feel like I'm in the right state of mind. I'm so disappointed I wasn't there. I don't even want to watch it yet because I
want
to be in a better state of mind.
You know, I'm not.
I'm not going to take too much. I'm going to just say this.
Yeah, finish up, Joe.
I saw a quick post, man, talking about this Jeter. I'm just going to finish this up. I saw a quick post, man, that said God loves Jeter. And the point, I guess the other thing, well, here's the thing, you know.
It's a little overboard.
My point is the game was supposed to have been rained out. The game didn't get rained out. You know, Robinson blows the game, and guess who's coming up the bat and wins the game? So, you know, there's a little bit of divine intervention is what I'm saying.
It was
an impressive game. And I went from two extremes. I went from nearly breaking my remote control to elation when he had that hit.
That's why sports is awesome, my friend. That's why sports is awesome. It's that simple.
Yeah, at any rate, man, the last point I want to make, man.
Yeah, real quick.
I'm say this. Beeson, man, you know, I wanted this guy to come in, man. I hope this guy can play, man, because you know what, man? I'm praying that this doesn't turn out to be a bust that we signed him. And I know the season's too early and everything, but, you know, I was one who wanted Beason. I was happy we signed him. Dude, the guy's got to play, man. And you guys have a great day.
All right, Drew. Thanks, Drew. 201-939-4513. Final two calls of the show. We're going to go to, let's see, I think Orlando and Fresh Meadows. You're up next. What's up, Orlando?
Hey, John, it's Rolando.
I'm sorry, Ro. How are you, man? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know, bro. It's like everybody else is telling me, it's hard to get on.
Well, Rolando, it's a popular show. What can I tell you? There's a lot of people trying to talk to this guy right here. He's a star.
Oh, absolutely. I'm the difference maker.
And, you know, now that you mentioned Lance, I do agree with Lance, and I also happen to agree with you, what you said earlier in terms of I wouldn't touch the offensive line. I like Schwartz. I like the idea that we were able to sign him and bring him on. But if the continuity is there, and just like Lance mentioned on Friday, this is how long I've been waiting. In terms of this is what we want. We want a continuity line. We have, say, maybe not just Schwartz, Snyder and Reynolds and Herman back there. And I know we have Brown. I think he's going to be a cut. And maybe Brewer maybe going to injury reserve because he's one of our draft choices. But one of the reasons I call is, at the beginning of the season, Johnny, I fall in terms of we have so many holes to fill that I feel good moving forward of how many we did fill. You know, the offensive line, finding Andre Williams to help with the running game. I feel bad that Wilson left because given the fact that the way we're playing, I see Wilson would have been a great asset in the second half with his speed, because we would have been banging it, and then all of a sudden this kid would look like he's going up the middle and bounce it out.
Yeah, like Rolando, you're right. If there's one thing that this team's still missing, it's like explosive playmaker, which is why I think Odell Beckham Jr. could help a little bit when he gets back.
And I hear you guys, man, and I'm more one of wanting to get Beckham on the field, you know, than waiting for the bye.
Make sure he's right, though. Make sure he's right.
But, bro, we've been waiting the whole year.
Yeah, well, he ain't been right yet.
He's a first-round pick. You want him on the field,
There you go. There you go, Lance. That's right.
Well, but with that being said, but here's the balance of both worlds. Do you want to just put him on the field, and then he gets out on the field, and then you lose him for another 5 weeks because he re-aggravates the hamstring, or you wait and sacrifice the extra 2 weeks so that you have him for the stretch run at the end of the season? You have to really determine where you want to stand on that.
All right, Rolando, finish up. Be quick. We're running out of time.
Okay. I'm already looking at the draft next year. I'm looking at the safety from Alabama, Lance Collins, and the defensive end from Nebraska, Gregory. Have a good one.
All right. Too early for the draft, Rolando. All right. Okay. We got to take one more call real quick. Ryan in Tampa. Ryan, you're last up. Really, really quick here. One comment, one question. Be quick.
Okay. It's Brian, by the way.
I'm sorry, Brian.
It's okay. My question to you guys is, how is it that you experts can be so wrong about so many teams in the NFL? And let's take specifically the Giants, okay? You guys are there. You see what's going on. You saw that they were putting in this whole new offensive system and scheme and everything else. It's not like a switch went off. And reading the New York press, I mean, they were all over Eli, all over McAdoo and whatever. You guys are there at training camp watching what's going on.
Yeah.
Why wasn't there more positive vibes? You know what?
Because the offense looked like garbage in training camp.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so
what do you want me to tell you?
Well, what do I want to tell you? Because, no, the talent's either there or it's not. You guys can see it for yourself. You guys are looking at the players on the field, and you can tell whether the new draft choices, if they can block, if they can't, or whatever. I mean, the fans aren't. The media probably isn't.
Well, keep in mind, there were a lot of injuries, though. These guys were barely
on
the field.
Brian, hold on. Right now the team's 2-2. Most people had this team around 8-8. So where are people wrong right now?
Come on, man. The difference between the Detroit game, even the Cardinal game, they started turning around. But these last two games, if they play the same way, and granted, you can make all these.
Well, Brian, in fairness, if their opponents turn over 6 times every game, they're going to go 14-2. That'd be real nice.
Yeah, but who caused the turnovers? I mean, all of a sudden, the whole.
Well, wait a minute. Well, Brian, Kirk Cousins was throwing more to Giants defensive backs than he was to his own wide receivers.
And look, let's
put things in perspective.
And Brian, the
here.
Giants had a hand in that, but let's not say the Redskins didn't play a role in their own demise on Thursday. The same way the Giants played a role in their demise against the Lions, the Redskins played a role in their demise last week. You got to be fair about
Brian,
that, right?
The bottom line is they took advantage of bad defense.
Right.
The Texans gave up 5.8 yards per carry. That was dead last in the NFL. They ran the ball down their throats. The Redskins had a banged up defensive line and a young secondary. They took advantage of that. Does that mean we're going to crown the team because they won 2 games in a row? No. You take it for what it's worth,
but,
and
Brian,
you see what happens.
And Brian, at the same time, after 2 games when everyone else was burying the team and trying to tell me they're going to fire the coach general manager and go 4-12, we're telling everybody, calm down, it's going to get better. So there is a middle ground here that you have to find.
Right, but it all comes down to talent. You can talk about the defense. The offense all of a sudden went from being completely inept to Eli throwing 7% passes and the running game going great and the blocking, and that's all about the talent on the field. That offense, as long as they stay healthy, is going to look as good against, because the defenses they were playing, whether the Redskins or the Texans, you know, they're both pretty darn good defenses before they went into the Giant game. Then all of a sudden they became lousy defenses.
Brian,
I just explained to you, John, I'll let you continue. I mean, I told you, 5.8 yards per carry the Texans were giving up against the run.
Last
How
in the league.
Is that a great defense?
And the Redskins secondary stunk all year before they played the Giants, too. Stunk.
Well, okay, we'll see what happens, but I'm just telling you that, to me, there's got to be some more vigilance on your guys' part to say, hey, listen, the talent is definitely here.
What were we wrong about? Tell me what I was wrong about.
After the first 2 games, were you saying, gee, you know, the Giants are going to be lucky if they make the playoffs, or they're going to finish, you know, 6-10 or whatever you were saying? Or did you think they would look as good in these last 2 games as they have? That's the question.
Did I think they were going to beat the Redskins 45-14? No, but I also think they didn't. I also didn't think they were going to lose the Lions by 30 points either. I thought that was going to be a closer game.
Okay,
Brian, sports are sports. You can't predict these things.
What are they going to do against Atlanta this week, guys? Are they going to kick their asses, or is it going to be a close game? What do you think?
I think right now, based on Atlanta's injuries, we'll see who's healthy. I think the Giants could win this game by a couple scores, based on the fact that the Falcons can't win on the road, and they're banged up on both sides of the ball.
Okay, let me ask you one more question before I go.
Yeah, real quick.
What do you think they're going to do against both Philly and Dallas? With everything knowing that you know now, do you think the Giants can go in and beat both of them in their home park?
In my opinion, Brian, I think the Giants will win 2 out of their next 3 games. That's what I think is going to happen.
I agree with that. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Well, you come and you call and you say that we're not vigilant in training camp. Well, I'm not sure what you want us to do.
First of all, number one.
They're 2-2. I said they go 8-8. I think I'm doing pretty well.
A lot of us here said that it was going to take time for the offense to gel.
And it took a couple weeks.
And it did take a couple weeks. Number two, okay, as I said on the program last week, you had a banged-up offensive line throughout the entire course of the preseason. So for us to say that this offensive line was going to come together based on all of the different mixing and matching during the preseason when Will Beatty wasn't practicing, when
John Jerry wasn't practicing either.
Dealing with a knee injury, Jeff Schwartz all of a sudden goes down. To say that, you know, we knew this was going to happen so quickly. No, I did not know this was going to happen so quickly. But to say that the media should have been all over it, I mean, come on.
But they also got the Texans without Arian Foster. Yeah. They got the Redskins after they lost D'Angelo Hall for the season, you know. Things happen, and the and Brian said the opponent doesn't matter. The opponent matters a whole lot. I mean, look, the Cardinals have an excellent defense. The Lions have the number one defense in the league right now. You don't think that had to do with the fact that they struggled the first 2 weeks, but that the Texans can't stop the run, the Redskins secondary stinks, that the offense got better? Of course, that has something to do with it. You got to be realistic here.
The Falcons are banged up, as you mentioned, and if the Giants' defensive line gets pressure on this offensive line, this game will play right into their hands.
And I can see the Giants running for 200 yards.
Correct. Hey, the Vikings ran for 241, and keep in mind, they did nothing since Adrian Peterson left the team. They did nothing. Matt Asiata, McKinnon, nowhere to be found.
Who are
the
guys
these guys? Touchdowns.
Exactly.
This past
right.
Sunday. So it was a good matchup. You take advantage of it.
We're already over time. Brian pushed our buttons. We had to respond. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Big Blue Kickoff Live at noon on Giants.com. Everybody have a great day. Take it easy. Have a good one.
Have a good one.